No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where coffee gives us unrealistic expectations of productivity. No shit.
Hello. If I do run out, it'll only be for a second.
Okay. Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 21, given on this day, 25 January 2020. I am glad to be here to talk to y'all about shit, but we're not going to read emails or discuss. See, this is where I always fuck up. Discuss skewed points of view. Why? Because we have Fred and Chanel from Iron Bean Coffee Company, the founders and the owners of Iron Bean Coffee Company. And you know what I forgot? I apologize in advance. I should have asked this before I started. Pronounce your last name so I don't screw it up.
No, we want you to say it.
Okay. Diedrich. Is it Diedrich?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the reason why I asked this is because I had a friend in high school named Renee, and her last name was pronounced Diedrich, but it was spelt like Diet Rich.
Yeah, ours is Dedrick.
Dedrick.
Everyone calls us Dedrick.
Dedrick. Okay.
Fred and Chanel Dedrick.
Yeah, she did it right. Somewhere on Ellis Island, when our ancestors came over, we just got phonetically spelled, and then it reads like Frederick Dedrick.
Frederick Dedrick. Right, dead. Right, dead. Fred. What was that movie back in the was it 80s?
Right, said Fred.
Right, was it? Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember. Hey, check this out. One of my favorite mugs. Sport kicking rock. Uh-oh, we froze. Did we freeze? Oh, you got to be.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's his name?
Right said Fred.
Hey.
Right said Fred.
Hey, y'all froze there for a second. I was like, hey, look at my mug. And then you all froze. And Chanel had this disgusted look on her face like, oh, shit, really?
I hate that mug.
That mug sucks.
No, that's just my looks.
Oh,
we got good Wi-Fi out here in the middle of Toledo.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So I just to kind of get started here, like we were talking earlier and Fred and I, you and I talked earlier this week. How did Iron Bean get its start? Where did Nori come from? How did this all come together? Because I know, and I'm not, I don't want to do a spoiler or anything like that. This is all about you two. This is all about, your passion and what you do for the masses, for the Iron Bean Nation. So really, where did this all come from? How did you get your start?
Funny you asked this question. We just had an argument about it yesterday. I was telling the story to some people that came in to the roastery yesterday, and I missed some details. And I was like, what? I don't remember it going down like that. And Chanel's like, oh, yeah. So she goes, well, I'll go back on Facebook. And I think I had told you in a previous conversation where Iron Bean got its name, and I was half right.
I don't know. He's so confused me yesterday because they asked him like where Nori came from. He's like, oh, Nori didn't come in until after we got called into the USDA. I'm like, where is his mind? Like, he completely, I don't know what he was thinking about yesterday, but I'm like, really, Fred? I mean, I just don't know where it was. Totally weird. Like, he had everything backwards. Well, I don't know if he was rushing or just trying to, like, get the conversation over with so we can get back to work or something. But yeah, so anyway.
So where did Nori come from, honey?
All right. So this is how it started. It was how many years ago about? We've been married 20 years.
Congratulations. So,
thank you.
Yeah. I don't know how we survived, but we did.
We started December 8th, 2016. That was the beginning of Iron Bean Coffee Company.
No, I know that. I'm talking about
way back. Hit it.
So I'm saying, so we've been married 20 years. And so it was like a couple of years into about 3 years. And we went to this bagel place. And it was one of those places where you just sit down, have coffee, have a good bagel. They had awesome cookies. And so when we walked in there, it was like super friendly place and not like overly friendly. It was a place where like if you walked in a home, you felt comfortable. It was just it was in the air there. It was like everything was nice and comfy and you just felt welcomed and people like that were strangers would just look at you. And so we started talking about having, then we were like, wouldn't this be awesome to have a place like this? You know, just a little place where people just came in and they, you know, they treated you nice. And because we're from upstate New York, and I mean, that truth about New Yorkers being mean, they are. they are. So not everyone. They just have that, I guess, almost like the look of my face. I always look mean, but I'm not. So that's kind of how it is there when you go into places. So I kind of was like, well, you know, this would be great. And we talked about it for like throughout all the years. And we just never had the money, or it was his job transferring us, and we had the kids. So it was like always just facing hard times. Every time we wanted to do something that we dreamed of, it just never could happen. We were always in the negative, you know? So it wasn't until he was getting really tired of his job where he was working at CSX, it started changing over because there was like new management and ownership. And they were starting to get to the point where they didn't care about all the people that worked there anymore. And, you know, like people that are just a year from retirement was, hey, just let them go.
Oh, that
you know,
sucks.
Find a reason to let them go. And he would come home and he's like, I can't do this. I cannot do this to these guys. And, you know, there's an integrity about it. You know, he built relationships with these people. And like, so every time we would transfer, it was because he was supposed to make the places better. And so when we got there into Ohio, or well, Toledo, everything just started changing. He'd come home every day going, I'm not doing this. I'm just not doing it. And then they kind of tried setting him up because I think they kind of knew that he was not going to do that stuff. So then they were trying to find like little things he was doing wrong. So he's like, babe, and that's where it all started. He kind of said, you know what? You remember that coffee shop we talked about years ago? He's like, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I would have to turn in my 401k. We'd have to sell everything. He's like, it's going to be scary because, you know, of our retirement and stuff. I mean, that's what he worked all the years for. So I think we froze again.
Yeah, there was a glitch. Okay. Yeah, but that's fine. Okay, no, you're good. So, you're good.
Okay. So then he just couldn't take it anymore and he wasn't going to do what they wanted to do, you know? So he's like, you mind if I quit? And I was like, nope, let's just do it. And it was kind of like I was in everything he's ever done, I've been by his side with. So, and I knew we'd be okay regardless. And if that was to live day by day and not worry about retirement, let's just do it. It was the only way we were going to find out.
Right.
So
right.
You can go from there, I guess.
Yeah.
Start talking.
So, yeah.
I talk too much.
No, So I know that I understand the New York piece because I'm originally from Jersey myself. So I completely get it. You know, okay. And what was it in the movie in Ghostbusters where Mayer's being an asshole is every New Yorker's God given right. So, but you know, that's the truth. You know, people walk around with pissed off face, but then the moment that, you know, you say, hey, or give them that head nod, right. All of a sudden that smile comes out. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, wow, cool. So now I get it completely.
We had a relocation. Like when we lived in Indiana for a short time, my neighbor said, wow, I'm surprised you're nice. I'm like, well, yeah. Why is that? And they were like, well, because you're from New York. I'm like, upstate, they're a lot calmer and they're like a lot easier in upstate, but they still have that look. And I'm like, I know. I said, I guess I'm hard to approach, I guess. I said, but not really. But once people get to know me, then they're like, oh, geez, you know, but
well, after
sure, it's gonna bat rip.
But
I
yeah,
know, I do.
But after,
but the first ones to help you with everything.
Yeah, and seeing you two when you guys do your Facebook live posts, I would have never guessed at any point in time, regardless if I, you know, that anybody would even think of you that way. I mean, you guys just have this thing. You guys are in sync with each other. It's simpatico. It's great. You know, and you don't see that too many. You don't really see that too much with couples. And especially you're around each other all day, correct? For most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's
holy.
I think people think I'm mean because I give him the side eye. I'm like constantly giving him the side eye. And he drives me nuts now that we're working together.
I drive her nuts.
He just said to me yesterday, he's like, he goes, I just want you to love me. And he was joking. He was joking around. He's like, and he goes, give me a hug. So and my hands are like down like this, like on my sides. And I'm like, oh, really, Fred? And he goes, I just want you to love me. I'm like, well, then stop pissing me off.
She's definitely my boss. Right?
I'm like, you stop pissing me off. I could love you more.
So you wear the pants, he wears the flannel. That's the trade-off, right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
I keep him level. He'd float off like a balloon.
I'm very impulsive, very excitable, very instantly passionate. Sometimes it's not long-lasting passion, but yeah, I'm flying by the seat of my pants about 24 hours a day.
I get it. And
I need some sort of grounding, and Chanel definitely keeps me grounded, even though I escape like a helium balloon every once in a while.
He does.
No, I would say just from the outside looking in, you both of you complement each other very, very well. And you don't see that too often, really. So you were looking at this coffee shop, establishing the coffee shop. What changed? What happened?
Well, it was us sitting in our backyard when we started talking about his job and everything and talking about, let's just do this. And we literally had our phones, and he's like, let's look at some shops. And I'm like, okay. So we started looking at like places to rent and trying to find places that already had like sinks and like something that was already had all the stuff in it.
Right.
And then the prices, we were like, oh my God.
No idea how much stuff cost. In our imagination, when we would talk about this coffee shop, it literally looked like, this is the best way to describe it, like CSI Miami, you know, and then you walk through these labs and there's glass walls everywhere and beautiful colors. And we imagined our coffee shop was going to look like that with little glass fireplaces in every corner.
Decorating ideas.
And I'm like, man, we're going to have the best coffee shop anywhere that everyone in the world is going to want to come visit. And then when we started to figure out what stuff costs, we were like, holy shit. How does any business do any business at 20 bucks a square foot
and
for
Fred
a year?
And Fred was into and that was like, just for like weightlifting and stuff. So we also – he wanted – I didn't. I wanted just the coffee shop. And he wanted a coffee shop / powerhouse gym in the back, you know, where it was members only type of thing for the gym. You know, and no mean mugging and stuff like that. Like, so when you walked into the coffee shop, there was no, you know, that I don't want that Starbucks feel, you know, where you walk in and you don't feel like, okay, am I not wearing the right clothes for this place? You know,
I don't
have my laptop with me. Sorry. You know, I don't even know how half the names are on the, you know, so I had to order them. I walk up to their counters. I'm like, can I have a small coffee? And they look at me weird. So I didn't want that. I'm like, I just want somebody to be able to come in and say, I'd like a large coffee or medium, something simple.
The way it should be ordered.
Just
right.
Relax, you know,
right.
Chill and relax. So when we were looking at the buildings, we were trying to look for something that you could do a gym and a coffee shop. So then he found a place in Toledo, and it was like, and the price seemed okay.
It was
$80,000. So we were thinking if we take a loan and sell certain things. But then when he got there, it was like $1 million.
$1.5 million.
Yeah. Jeez. And we were like, oh, never mind.
Yeah. We found an old listing for this old brick building, which was kind of in sync with what we've envisioned in what our coffee place was going to look like. So we found a listing. The listing was 3 years old. I didn't know that. I thought it was current. So I called the realtor and I'm like, hey, I'm really interested in buying this building. And we're thinking a 30-year mortgage. Maybe we'll sell our house. We'll move into the upstairs of this building. Yeah. We should be able to swing 30 years on 80 grand, right? So and he's like, yeah, the listing's really old. He said it comes with the building next door now. It is still for sale and it's still available. It's 50,000 square feet and it'll be $1.5 million. And I was like, holy shit. I don't know how I'm going to have that. 30 years. So now I'm still in my head. All right, 30 years on $1.5 million. That's like, I don't know, $4,800 a month. You know, that's way outside of our means. We can't do it. I still thought for a minute that maybe if we had enough customers, if it was a hit, maybe we could do it. And then we realized that commercial loans are not 30-year mortgages. you got like 5 years to pay it off with a big balloon payment at the end. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So we didn't even we didn't even have money for a coffee maker. We didn't think anything about equipment. At that time, we were just looking at property. So then we're like, oh my God, this is going to be way more money than I thought it was going to be. So we decided. Then we thought about a food trailer or a food truck,
a coffee trailer. We started looking at equipment. And stuff like that. And then we did go see another building, and the realtor was really honest, which I really liked. So it was literally right up the street from our house. So we get there and he asked us what we wanted to do and what our plans were. So we told him, and he said, this building's not for you. And we probably could have done that one, but he said, you have to start thinking, like, but of location and, yeah, like, what's going on? What stores are next going to be next to you? What are people doing when they go to the building next door to you? Is it something that's in and out? You know, are people hanging around? He said, so you have to think about all those things. Then I was like, oh, this would be a horrible spot. You know, you don't realize that until somebody actually, you know, I can only imagine how many small businesses wanted to start off, found a building and thinking this is great, and a realtor's renting them that out. And then it does, and then it fails.
And you're not thinking about foot traffic and the location, what's the neighborhood like in the middle of the night? Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. And we didn't even think of, like, we have, like, no business sense when it comes to that stuff. So once he told us, we, like, left there, like, relieved. And then we went, and our backyard is, like, our meeting place. Me and Fred, like, when he got home from work, and we'd go sit out on the back porch, and that's where we did most of our talking all the time. So every day he would come home, and we would talk a little bit more about it, and start checking out prices. Or he'd say, babe, I went and looked at this property on the way home, and then I'd show me, and I'm like, nah, I don't like it. And then we never agree on anything. That's another thing. We never agree on much. So, which is funny because everything seems to work out fine because I win. But right?
That's the name of the game. I win.
That's right. So then that's when Fred started thinking of all the things that we could sell and where he can pull money from and, you know, just anywhere. And then what else? Oh, then we started looking at food trucks. He said, let's do like a food truck type thing, you know? And so he started looking at them, and those are way too high too. They were just as much as a building.
Yeah. The investment for equipment was exactly the same.
And you all sacrificed a lot though. The conversation you were telling me about the things that you sold, you know, you evidently have a lot of passion doing what you're doing.
Not really I wouldn't say the things that we had were sacrificed. They were things that we worked hard to get.
Right, yeah.
Like, he had a really nice truck that he's 20 years I was married to him. He was like, well, at the time it was, 17? And he was like, I want one of these. So we've always worked hard to get the things we wanted, but we never got the things we actually thought, like, really wanted.
Right.
Like, you know, those dreams that you're like, someday I want this sports car. I want this old car. Fix it up. And that.
Uh-oh. Man, hold on. There we go. Oh yeah, we glitched there for a second. You're good. You're
Did
good.
We glitch?
Yeah.
So Fred finally got his truck. I mean, when you're work, kids always came first. Food, bills, and all that. So when the kids got older and left, it was, you know, and did their own thing, and they're all on their own. And he was like, he finally got the truck he always wanted. And he so that was probably a sacrifice, because it's something that, like, every time you finally get a little bit of money and you can get something that you actually work hard for,
right,
you know, and stuff, and you get one time to think of yourself, and then something else comes up. But that was more important. So yeah, I guess that was a sacrifice.
We sold everything that we had. We had this old 65 Ford Classic pickup truck that I absolutely love. Oh. We had an old Sportster Harley Davidson. Most of our belongings in the house we put on eBay or Craigslist. We sold everything. We sold everything that we could to start something.
Except our animals and couch and tables.
Yeah, you know, we kept the pets.
Sell the pets.
We still have a kid. We still have a kitchen table. So what we've evolved into now as a coffee roaster was definitely not the plan. We were roasting coffee as a hobby at the time, and we wanted to roast coffee for our coffee shop. That was it.
Yeah.
So, but once we figured out that we couldn't open the shop, we said, well, we're going to start a Facebook page and a website. And now we know the things that we have to save our money for. So we had sold our stuff. We had a little bit of cash. We started the Facebook page, the website, and then slowly.
Yeah, you did that. I was away.
yeah. There's a side story. I'll jump into it here for about a second. So we had rode with a biker club at the time. It was called Bikers Against Abuse and Neglected Children. And it was one of those biker clubs that would go to court with a child, so they had the strength to face their accuser, whoever they were before. So it was that style of a coffee club. So a coffee club, a biker club. So the first thing that we sold to try to generate some capital, we didn't use these business terms back then. We needed some money.
Right.
So the first thing we sold was patches. So we had our little logo and we had a patch company make a bunch of these little patches. I think there was 50, 100, maybe 100 patches. And we sold them to the biker club and we put it on the website. You know, I don't know that we sold any on the website, but it was the only thing on
like
our website.
It was like the startup, the website.
Yeah. So the first thing we had for sale was patches, and we called them like founding member patches, you know, the charter members, you know, you have a lifetime 10% off if you have one of these patches. And we don't even see them anymore. They show up on eBay every now and then. And every once in a while, some of our friends from the club still have a picture there, but then we put the coffee on the website. We had 4 coffees when we first started. And we were literally in little paper bags with just a little sticker on the front.
Right.
That's how we sold it. And they were like half pounds.
Yeah, we would get like little bags of green, you know, green beans. And that's how – so we didn't have a lot.
No.
We just had a little bit each time. So – and then he had to order like little bags about this big, about a pound or two.
Yeah, a little bigger, a little bigger.
Yeah, got a little bigger.
So Chanel goes to New York. Our daughter lives in New York. And,
oh, wait. We didn't tell you one part. While we sold everything and we started finally taking the money to start getting these things together and stuff, our daughter calls and says, I'm getting – or – our son-in-law, wasn't our son-in-law when he called and told
he called
me he was getting married?
And said, I'm going to ask Sammy
to get married. And we're like, shit.
Oh, here we go.
And we love him. We love him. So I'm like, oh.
We're like, hey, look, I'm trying to start a business over here. You know, I just sold this pickup truck. You know, you think maybe next year? Does it have to be this year? You sure you're not rushing into this thing? We love him to death. And everything has worked out fantastic. But I knew now I was going to have to front up this big fat check. And literally the only money we had is going to be just sold all of our stuff. So we gave him half the money that we had come up with. And like, all right.
He's like, she only better be married one time
I'll PayPal you this big fat old chunk of cash that we just got because we sold all of our stuff. So I was like, oh, shit. Well,
he goes, she better never get a divorce.
Yeah, you get a divorce, you're in trouble. This is our dream money here. So we had a little hiccup. It wasn't a hiccup. I mean, it was a blessing, but it was not timely.
So you didn't make him sign like a statement. It's like, hey, No, I'm kidding.
It felt good to give it to him.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we had it.
They're your kids. They're your kids, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah. So, we don't give them anything with the expectation they owe us anything.
No. Right.
So we gave him the money. Chanel goes to visit. All of our families are back in New York. So my parents, my sister, Chanel's sister, her parents, everything's in New York, and we're by ourselves in Toledo. So we go back and forth to New York quite a bit. So Chanel took a couple of weeks and went back to New York just as we started the website. And back then, when we would roast coffee, we were roasting in a cast iron skillet. We didn't have any commercial equipment. We didn't even have fancy roasting equipment. We had a cast iron pot that would sit deep inside this barbecue grill that we modified so we could modulate the heat. You know, it's pretty fancy setup for what it was.
We had a heat sensor.
But it's all we had. Like we had an infrared gun. You know?
Y'all went MacGyver. Y'all went MacGyver for the coffee maker.
Coffee and it was very labor intensive. So to make a pound of coffee,
he would not know how that feels like, by the way.
Labor?
Yeah, when it comes to stirring.
I stirred a lot, but you stirred a lot after.
Here we go.
I'll get to that part. So Chanel goes off to New York. We have the website open for business, and it's literally been open for 2 months at this point. But then all of a sudden, we got a couple of orders, and it took us 20 minutes to roast 1 pound of coffee. So we get like 6 orders, maybe 6 pounds. And I'm still working at the time. I had not quit my job at this point. I was still working full time for CSX. It demanded tons of hours and tons of attention. So I had a few hours each day to do anything else. So while Chanel's in New York, I get these orders and I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta get to roasting coffee. So we're in there roasting and Chanel calls home one day and she's like, hey, babe, how you doing? Everything's going good out here. I'm like, babe, I got a business to run over here. I got to go. She had no idea I turned the website on and that it was, that orders were coming. So I'm stirring away. I'm on the phone in one hand. I'm like, I'm roasting coffee right now. I got
to
go.
And he wasn't even supposed to be doing that. He was in the middle of remodeling the garage.
Yeah.
I'm like, You're supposed to finish the garage.
I didn't think anybody was going to order. I didn't think anyone would find the website. So, not that day.
Because he said, I promise you, when you get home, I'm going to have this place painted. Yeah. I'm going to have it all cleaned out. Everything is going to, everything. I'm going to put the molding up because I kept asking him and asking him. He's like, it will be all done when you get back.
Yeah.
And then that's what he was doing while I was gone.
You can't, like, you can't put milestones on honey-do lists. I'm sorry.
I'm like, well, you started this. And now I'm feeling panicky because if you can hear the way he sounds you've heard him when he's excited, it's like, so now I'm like in New York and there's nothing I can do to help him.
Nope.
Until I get home.
Right.
So, I even think I came home a day early because I'm like, and the poor, I felt bad for the kids because I only get so much time there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so I get home and oh my God, everything was upside down. And the inside of the house was a complete disaster. He had laundry everywhere.
I was running a business,
and that's what he said to me. He's like, I'm running a business. I wanted to kill him.
I had nothing done.
I had to get, I'm like, you go out there and stir. And then, so I can catch up with everything. And then I started, and then it was like a day after that I started making it and roasting the coffee and he was finishing the garage. Cause we had to have that done, cause we called the health department stuff and said, what do we need? We researched we Google searched everything and just trying to get knowledge from exactly what do we need to make sure this is right and do this stuff.
Of course.
So, and that's what we do. We called the health department. We asked them some questions.
We went to Google.
Yep. Went to Google and
Google's your friend.
And yeah, so he was able to get the garage done and stuff. Like it was like where we thought we had all the guidelines, all right, we've got everything, all the stuff we need. So, and then, he went to work every day
and now she
would get
the
orders
and
I'm stirring and stirring and stirring. And then my arms would get so tired because I mean, you can't stop.
Right.
And then in a cast iron, the beans pop out, and especially during the popping process, the cracks, the beans would come out and go flying down my shirt.
They were hot.
I can only imagine.
You had to wear big welding gloves when you're doing this.
Yeah.
So to describe what the process looks like, we had I think it was 1.5 gallon cast iron pot, 6-quart pot.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had this long, long whisk. I like the whisk. You like the wooden spoon.
I love using wooden spoons.
So she had a wooden spoon.
But my mom always used them all our lives. She's Italian, so she always has the wooden spoons all the time.
But both of them.
So I like working with those.
Both of them were very, very long. And because it's so hot, it's not like you're flipping burgers on a grill where you just kind of step in, flip a, turn the chicken breast or whatever.
No, it has
you
to
are
be consistent.
In, your hands are in the grill. Your face is over the grill the whole time.
You got
time.
The gun temperature thing or whatever that thing is called.
Yeah, it's just the hood's open and your face is in there, right? And you're stirring and stirring and stirring. And it is hot. Like you're cooking yourself every time we'd make a batch of coffee. And it was heavy. So at the end of this long stirring device, whichever one you were using, you had to hold your hand, weigh it on the end with these big gloves on.
It's just harder when the more coffee you have.
Right.
If you're just making because we used small to make batch. Our own
1 pound.
We used to only do 1 pounders for ourselves.
Yeah.
Throughout the years and stuff. And that's real easy. When you get three pounds.
We worked our way up
thing,
to 3 pounds.
You're it's heavy.
Yeah, you got to switch hands every 45 seconds. Oh my God.
Now what?
Oh my God.
And of course.
And you have to make sure it's at a certain temperature before you even start stirring.
You have to set a timer.
So it was crazy.
Now, what about the cooling process too? How did y'all work the cooling process?
You would take the pot off.
It was a mess.
And you would keep turning it just like if you would in a roaster when it's turning.
Right.
When you turn the gas off and it's turning and you let it out and the thing. So what we would do is we had this, what do you mean slow down? I never slow down. So we had this basket.
Yep.
It was
like a deep fried shrimp basket.
Yeah. And so we would hurry up and dump it into there because you had to get the chafe off.
Yeah.
So we'd sit there and shake, shake, ticket. And it would always
over
be like,
a fan.
Yeah. Or we'd open up the back door and we'd go close to it and just shake it, you know, just because it gets smoky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. In a commercial drum roaster, the chafe is removed. You have it's pretty sophisticated airflow system. So as you're roasting beans, there's a silver skin or chafe, it's called. Right. And it'll get sucked out through the chimney and it'll collect in this big chafe collector before the smoke goes out the chimney. You don't have that luxury when you're hand roasting in the cast iron pot. Mm-hmm. So all the chafe is coming off the beans and it's collecting in the pot along with the beans. So we had this big industrial fan that would sit on the floor and it would just shoot straight up in the air. And right when we had the timer set. Mm-hmm. So right when it was like, beep, 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 like, all right, we've been in first crack for 2 minutes. This roast is done. You had to drop your spoon, grab it really fast, because once you stop stirring, everything's going to start burning.
Yeah.
So you grab the pot, you yank it out, and you would pour it in the deep fry basket. And it was really tiny holes, so the beans wouldn't fall through, but it would ventilate. So we'd put it in the deep fry basket,
close the
lid, and attach it real quick. And then you'd go in on above the fan and start shaking the shit out of it. Like you're shaking a Jiffy, like a Jiffy Pop thing. And you shake it over the stove top and it got real big.
Yeah.
So you're like, shake, 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 shake. And there's smoke and chafe and stuff going all over the place, like raining coffee everywhere. And that was every single batch was the same way. And that's how we cooled. It was over. Yeah.
I've always heard the
smell all over you.
I've always heard the smell. The smell is
amazing.
It really
is. Yeah. Like it's not a bad smell. It's an awesome smell. Like even though everybody's like, are you guys used to that yet? I'm like, nope. Like the smell is just, it's when it comes out of that roaster back then, you know, it was like it was awesome. The whole house smelled like it. I loved it.
The smell of roasting coffee can't be replicated unless you're roasting coffee. Grinding, as beautiful and as aromatic as grinding is, and brewing, you never smell the roasting smell. It's pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to really, really, really dark roast, and we couldn't get super dark in the cast iron pot. We just couldn't generate enough
heat. So he bought this roaster. It was like this little, well, you can't see. It was like a double toaster size.
Yeah.
And it like it would just go around and do it for you. So he would come home from work while I turned all day. And he would.
I forgot about this.
He would pull up,
this lasted a whole week.
He pulled up a chair and he would do the temperature on there and then sit there. I'm like, are you kidding? I hated him.
Chanel would be over slaving. She's slaving. It was literally slaving over the grill.
Uh-oh, we froze. We froze again. Oh, Skype sucks.
In the dark roast, in this little beautiful tabletop roaster, and I just had to watch it, you know.
And
just
then he would walk over to me and go, "You got to shake that harder, or the beans are gonna burn." Really?
Yeah. So I'd be looking over at her, you know, judging her
like,
roasting.
You better
methods.
Leave your management at work.
Hey,
okay?
Hey. So you
come home, I'm the boss.
Fred, you were running a business. I'm running the business.
Literally running the business. But I screwed that roaster up so many times. If you didn't pay attention to it, it was really – I hated it, to be quite honest with you. It sucked. You couldn't modulate anything. It just went through this little pre-programmed function. But there was a couple times you had to pay attention and hit the button at the right time to continue the process.
Right.
And every once in a while, I'd be looking at her, making sure the coffee's getting roasted right over there. And I'd miss my window of opportunity.
Micromanaging.
Yeah, and then the roaster would shut down. I had to go in cooling mode. I couldn't get the beans out. And it was like another hour before you could use it again. I was like, man, this thing is a piece of shit. We ended up just putting it away. And then we bought a commercial roaster.
Well, we went and actually signed up for a class.
Yeah. We bought the roaster.
Mill City Roasters.
But the roaster wouldn't have been ready. It took 3 months to build it out and get it all prepared and everything. So we ordered it, paid for it, but we didn't have it for a long time. And then we went to school to learn how to translate the cast iron pot roasting into drum roasting. The principles are the same, but the way that you get there was a lot different.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went to school for a couple of days and roasted coffee on the roaster that we were buying.
So was this a localized roastery in the area that you went there for a couple of days to learn? Or I mean,
it was in St. Paul, Minnesota. Yeah. It's a place called Mill City Roasters.
That's the other place we're talking about.
Mill City Roasters is the name of it. Great people, great company, super knowledgeable. And there was a lot of places to buy roasters online. So there, and some of them were remarkably expensive. Some of them were really cheap. I mean, yeah. In the realm of roasters, they're all expensive,
right?
But some were remarkably expensive. Mill City was kind of middle of the road, but they had an incredible customer service portion.
Yeah.
I could call them. I could ask them tips, advice. You know, they were coffee roasters and they were there all the time. Steve Green is the name of the owner there. And he was instrumental to us starting that roaster and then developing a lot of the roasts that we had. Mm-hmm. It was pretty, pretty remarkable. And then we had that roaster. We called it Big Blue. Now that in the cast iron pot, we could put 2.5 pounds of coffee in, and 20 minutes later, we had about 1.5 pounds that was prepared. So we could make about 3 pounds in an hour,
right,
in the pot. In Big Blue, it was a blue coffee roaster. In Big Blue, we could do 4 pounds per batch, and you'd get about 3 once it was done. But I could do that every 15 minutes.
Sweet.
So now we were doing 9 to 12 pounds an hour. So this was a huge improvement as far as time. But because the website grew and people kept coming, and this roasting business that we didn't plan on to was starting to evolve into something, Big Blue just couldn't handle it. We still had work to go to. There was so many other things outside of roasting coffee to start this, like website,
right,
management and packing and shipping and all this other stuff. We couldn't just come home and sit at the roaster for 4 hours, you know, to pump out 20 pounds of coffee.
No,
so we had to get another roaster.
You have to get packaging. I mean, we did not know what we were doing. So we had to drive to the stores to get the boxes, the post office, and we were bringing the packages to the post office ourselves.
Right.
So it was like, it's like we were putting the stickers on the bags. We were creating designs. I mean, the whole thing is crazy.
Yeah.
We did not expect it to be like that, because in our minds it was supposed to be a little coffee shop that we were going to roast in, you know,
right,
like you were going to be able to watch us roast when you walked in and had a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
you know, so it was totally
there's no bagging and shipping and all this
no
other
idea.
Stuff. A website. We didn't need a website for our dream, you know, but we needed it for this.
But and you then, guys have come a long way with it though, because I remember initially when I first found you all on the website and I placed my first order, I was looking at you all had because you guys got into the mugs, the Deneen pottery and everything, and you had mugs that had sold out, but they were still on your website. I'm like, are they ever going to come back? And then I just watched little by little the improvements, and it just morphed into this big thing, and it was beautiful. It was absolutely great just to see. You know, and I didn't know where you guys got the start. I didn't see, you know, the website, you know, in its infancy, but I kind of came in middle towards now to present.
Yeah.
And it's been phenomenal to watch you all grow and have the level of connectivity that you, the passion that you have for everything that you do and the level of connectivity that you have for your fans out there and the fellow coffee drinkers at Iron Bean Nation is second to none. I have never seen. I was telling Fred about this.
Because we took everything we wanted to do in a building,
right?
And just, well, we can't have that. But there's absolutely no reason why we can't try our best to build what we have on the internet,
right?
Know what I mean? Instead of like, we didn't want it to be that. We didn't want to be a relationship where we were just a business and internet, and customers on the other end. We want to bring people. It was part about being a family, like bringing people together, just not mean mugging somebody, make one more person have a good day.
Yeah.
And so we had to try to figure out how we were going to be able to do that in the Facebook, in the internet world.
Yeah.
Which is so hard because you're shocked every day. You don't know who to believe in. You don't know if somebody's sincere. You don't know if, you know what I mean? Every day somebody's getting disappointed or let down, you know? So that even made it even harder. So, but we've never tried to be anything but us. We're just us. And we said that from the beginning. I don't want, because people said, well, you shouldn't say this or you shouldn't do this or that. I'm like, I'm being myself. I remember one time he said that to me, like, babe. I'm like, I will always be myself, and so will you. We're just going to be who we are, Fred and Chanel, and that's it. So to us, it's easy.
Right.
We're just us, and we're doing exactly what the whole purpose was behind having that shop before. You know, we just were able to put it on the – thank God. It's hard. It's not easy getting to know people on the internet or them to even trusting us or even getting to know us.
Right.
So it is hard, but yeah. But we just –
You all make it happen, and it's great because I mean it just the interaction overall. Because and Fred and I talked about this earlier this week, where you know we talked about some other coffee companies that just like grew exponentially, and mm-hmm. they seem to have lost their connectivity. I'm not trying to badmouth them. It's just you can tell where that breach, that distance, that rift, kind of you know. Between customer and the company just kind of went away. I mean, yeah, they still do things to interact, but now it's all about the money. It's all about the business. It's not about that close personal customer service that you all bring to Iron Bean overall.
Yeah, I think it depends on the person's, like when
your initial motivation.
Your dream.
Yeah.
What was it that you wanted? And there's, and I always say that nothing, I don't want to disrespect anybody else, but some people, no matter what businesses, they have an idea. This is going to be my income. This is going to be my vacation home someday.
Right.
Or, you know, and that wasn't our thing. I don't want all that because I want to be close to my family. I want to be around my family. Right. I don't want to, you know, so does it Fred. So it's like that's one thing we've always agreed on. That was something that we both wanted. So it all depends on what is it that you really wanted to do in the what was your purpose in the first place?
Right.
Exactly.
Was it to bring, you know, paper for a kid to color on and because you've got a passion for teaching kids to write on paper? Or was it this, I know this is going to make me money someday. And this is, so that's how business is, you know, you have this side and that side of it.
Yeah. Right.
So, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what they're, thing is, you know, but
the 20-year-old dream was to create a place where people could conglomerate and get along.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That never changed, even though what the function that we used to do that did change. But we never started roasting coffee or started a company so that we could make money.
Right.
Money was never part of the conversation, probably until we started renting a new place.
They didn't need it, you
know?
Like,
yeah.
We're gonna pay the rent. So I gotta go back to work. But because the initial motivation wasn't profit, the initial motivation was people, and that purpose and that mission has never changed.
No.
And I can't see us. It wouldn't make sense for us not to do this. This is why we started in the first place.
No, I'm glad that you did because completely enjoy what you all do.
We've asked a lot of the customers were like, you know what? You ever see us get up on that horse, kick our ass, kick us down from it.
Yeah.
We do that in our marriage. You get this where I'm going to bring you right back down where you need to be. If you need to be there, you know, if it's going to put you over the bad edge or anything, you know, I mean, that's just how we've always worked with our marriage too.
Yeah.
It's keeping each other real and, you know, and level headed and so on. And we've asked that for our customers, you ever, our friends, be the most honest friend that people would not really want to have because you're so honest. Just tell us.
Yeah. Hold us accountable.
You know, hold us accountable and stuff like that.
We're pretty wise, you know, now that we're older and we understand that if there was some measure of success that came with this or it started to become a very profitable, that there's a danger that you kind of lose sight. But I think because we went in with an awareness of that, and we haven't hit that mark yet, you know, where, oh, man, we're just making money. But we're aware that success can breed different values and different personalities.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I expect us never to be different.
Here we go with Skype again.
Those are potentials.
Say that again.
Oh, no. Anytime you guys freeze, I'm like, Skype sucks. I'll probably do like a little front end thing saying, hey, you know, you might hear some skips in the recording. That's just Skype. It sucks. Let's move on type deal. So
like I said, going to like those diners where you'd walk in and like when you were a little kid and they're still there in your adulthood.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, that's like the dream, you know, of having that, that's the, everybody knows that family, and they, you always, everybody goes there back all the time, you know, or they go once a week or whatever. I'm used to that in upstate New York. My great grandmother used to take this one diner all the time, and that was like a special treat, but it was like, it's still there.
Yeah.
They still got the same pies that they make, you know, and it's just that they still got the same furniture in there that they had. It's awesome.
No, it's
I'm sorry. My head's gone. I don't even know what we're talking about. But that's what I mean. That you can, I want it to stay like that.
You want the nostalgia of having, of being, and I can associate, because I grew up in West Texas, and there was a diner that my dad always took me to. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was family owned and operated. And it was like on a corner of an intersection, and it was very small, not a lot in the way of parking, but my dad was friends with the owner. And I went in there, you know, little tyke, 5-6 years of age. Mm-hmm. And then some years passed and we didn't go, and went in there, and they were like, well, obviously they knew him, but they're like, wow, you know, he got so big and all the other stuff. And then now, I mean, it's like the son, the grandson, I mean, it's just, it's changed hands. But again, they haven't changed anything. They still got the 1950s countertops and the machines and everything. So I see where you're coming from on that. You just want to have that nostalgia. You want to have that closeness, that connectivity. You don't want to lose that connectivity.
No. And then at the same time, you want, like, we're so proud of everything that we do. It's nice seeing when somebody calls, like, we put your coffee on our shelf. So, and there's, of course, you want to grow to the point where you can leave your full-time job. You can keep the lights on and still be able to take care of the awesome nation, you know? So it's like, you got to have the income for that. And the only way to do that is grow. I mean, but you have to learn what to say no on and what's okay to do.
Right.
So we've been able to manage that pretty good. And so, like, we've had people ask, hey, can I, and we would look into, our thing is, let's look in what type of business is going to sell our coffee and what kind of people are behind it.
Right.
So that is like one of the things that kind of, so because Fred's a Marine, like, so when they call, we're like, yes, because we're supportive.
Right.
People, you know, the fire departments, the police, the teachers, the nurses, people that are always helping people every day. So we, anything involvement with that, that's definitely, yes, you know, because that's, they're always helping people. They're out there doing stuff every day to help people. You know, they see the worst of the worst.
Right.
And so, but like, and there's like maybe a couple small stores we'd like to get into, you know, just because it's local. Things are local. And when people see our coffee in these places, they're like, oh, I went and had a cup of your coffee over at this little place or that. So it's nice. So we can kind of manage it through that way, I think. So we're going to, we'll, me and Fred will, I'm sure there's going to be somebody who'll call, say, hey, you want to put your coffee? And I'll be like, no. And he'll be like, yes.
It depends. It really depends. Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, Stan, we're very selective. We would like to be in boutique places, but I don't want to necessarily be in a store that doesn't jive with the things that we believe in.
Right. Yeah. You're looking for somebody like-minded individuals that share your same passion.
Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah. Compassionate and giving to their community and not a profit machine.
You know? Right. Yeah. No, I completely get it.
Or where you walk in a place and they make you feel horrible. I don't want our coffee. We have a lot of pride in our coffee. I mean, I know some people are like, coffee's coffee. I'm like, no, it's not.
No,
it's not.
So okay. I will tell you, I told Fred this too. I said, you know, so I make a freaking Stanley thermos full and I bring it to work every day. And so whatever I get, whether it's a Tanzanian peaberry or the Raging Tiger, you know, I'll make a batch. I'll take it in. I don't get enough for myself. I walk in. They're like, what do you got today? What do you got? You know, and I'm like, well, it's this, it's that. And they're coming over going, hey, can you fill? Yeah, sure. And they'd love it.
Was it like that before?
No. Well, see, the thing is like, okay, so I have a huge office of coffee drinkers and I have some tea drinkers and everything. They won't touch coffee, but the ones that do, you know, they're popping the pods in the Keurig and they're putting all their stuff in it and everything. But I'm like, guys, I said, you guys need to try something different. you know, we were talking about the pods and the tubs and everything, and how coffee comes out different from a tub versus, hey, you grind it, you brew it, whether you use Chemex, siphon, whatever, how much flavor you actually appreciate the coffee that you have, right? And mm-hmm. and don't spoil it. There's, and we had this conversation too, because he was like, hey, put honey in it, put paprika in it. And I was like, I was remembering one of your Facebook Live posts where you were talking about putting a Reese's peanut butter cup in it and pouring the coffee on. I took a Godiva caramel filled one, and I thought about what you had said, so I dropped that in my mug. I poured the coffee in, and fuck if it wasn't good.
Yeah, you gotta try Almond Joy.
Oh, here we go. But the point I'm making is that they never really appreciated coffee so much until I started bringing in Rocco, Raging Tiger, Fierce. And I would just make the grinds. I'd do different grinds each time, so there would be a different flavor pull from it. And they love it. And I'm like, I need to get at least a bigger Stanley thermos or something to bring in, because I don't have any for myself at the end of the day.
Well, you asked me that question because that's what Iron Bean's all about.
Yeah.
I like that you were able to bring coffee in, and now you're talking about coffee. And even if it's just about coffee, you guys are all communicating.
Yeah.
You're giving somebody something to look forward to when they to come bug you for coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm at the point where, hey, here's a website. Go get your own.
Yeah, but it's good.
It is. It is absolutely great.
It's that little moment when you're at work or anywhere and you're just like, that's what coffee's all about. Not just the, what it tastes like. And it's that sitting down and having communication.
Right.
Just if you look, almost everything has something associated with coffee. That you can, and it's relaxing. It's enjoyable. I don't know.
It's universal, like good music. When you have good coffee, it's like good music. And almost anybody could appreciate a good song or a good musical or a good movie. It's just whether you speak the language or you don't, or you just listen and enjoy it, coffee is just like that, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, especially like the Raging Tiger. I mean, I killed the first bottle, by the way. And I was laughing because you guys got those sweet little tags on it. It says contents under pressure. And I'm sitting here looking, going, how can coffee beans be under pressure? And I popped the lid and beans just went all over the countertop.
Well, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Last year and the year before, they did the same thing.
Really? Wow.
So we did have somebody from another, I won't say a coffee company, mention on a page to someone else, that could be dangerous and hurt somebody's eye. Now, really? I'm like, so me and him were like, really? Nobody, first of all, the bean is not going to kill you.
Yeah.
It ain't like it's champagne where it's going to, you know, and I'm like, you know what? We're going to get little tags and just, and it was more of a being sarcastic.
Yeah.
And worried at the same. I mean, because you worry. We've had people try to kick us down and, you know, and just be like, these people aren't going to exist.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Why would you do that? Everybody should help each other. We believe in helping each other. You know, you don't knock people down. So you see little things like that. And it's like, really? Give us a break already.
No.
So I'm like, you know what? We're going to go get the tags and we're going to. And there's a few people that would write on the Nation, the Iron Bee Nation page. They'd be like, I better put my face, like joke around, like I got a tag because they've never got one before. And it's not like it, you can explain
no,
it.
No, yeah, and it really wasn't. It was like, you know, as soon as the top came off, I mean, there was some pressure there. And I say, yeah, they went all over the place, but there was a few beans that launched out. And it wasn't like they weren't like projectiles, like 5.56 millimeter or anything, you know, they just went all over the counter. And I'll even tell you, I resealed the bottle and then like 2 days later, cause I'll make Raging Tiger in the morning every once a week, bring it into work. But I like to drink it at night because it's that nice bourbon flavor. It's a really good sipping coffee. It is just beautiful. Perfect in my opinion. But I went back to open the bottle. And it did it again. It didn't launch anything out, but there was that pop. So I know something
it's so
about
fresh.
The beans and the bourbon and everything just being packed in there. But I mean, realistically, people will turn around and just exaggerate on the most stupidest things. And so
that's why we did them. I'm like, we better warn everybody.
But you know what? I'll be honest with you. Regardless of the intent for the warning, I think that was classy tying those little tags on there and handwriting each one of those tags. That was absolutely, and I'm not throwing that. I didn't take the tag off. It's still on there. So I'm keeping the bottle with it. So yeah, no, I think it adds a classy touch. You guys doing that way. So
I'm sure they were well-meaning and didn't want anyone to get hurt. It was just the sarcastic Facebook post we saw, like, "Oh, that's an accident waiting to happen."
Unfortunately,
everybody. So we're not liable for some injury.
And you don't want anybody to get hurt too. So like, even though it was sarcastic, it was like, "Yeah, I don't want." I'm like, would somebody really like look into it when they're opening it? But you know what? I guess that's why there's warnings and.
Well, you know, you think about to that McDonald's just issue. Never know. Remember the McDonald's lawsuit where somebody came in and got coffee and they sued McDonald's and won. And I'm sitting here going, really? And then that's what forced them to put warning. You need a warning label drinking hot coffee. Come on.
Yeah.
That you just can't. You're just.
No, it has to say hot.
Yeah.
We have we have a mobile coffee truck now, and we had to make cups.
Right.
And our cups. We don't have any warnings on our cups, which somebody wanted to point out when we first started serving coffee out of the truck.
Here we go.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, that McDonald's case that you're talking about, everybody's aware of it. And then Dunkin' Donuts, you know, they both lost a couple $1 million because somebody poured coffee on their crotch. So we got to make new cups. And we have to make sure we put the warning, and I'm going to put explicitly on the seam.
Well, we do have the lids that say it now, so.
It'll say, avoid pouring directly on crotch. So I look forward to our new cups coming out. It is pretty funny.
I was going to say, you all don't have a hair on your ass if you don't put that on there, literally.
Oh, it's going on there. I think people will enjoy it. It's a legitimate warning, but it'll come off with a little sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. God, that is so. Hey, so I got a question. So I saw the whole thing. I was following it, paying attention to it. What was the deal? What was the driving motivation for the single Oreo mug? That was a badass mug, by the way. but where did that idea come from? What was the catalyst that said, "Hey, let's do this Oreo mug and do a giveaway"? Because
Sunset Hill Stoneware, we use both Deneen and Sunset Hill Stoneware for our hand thrown pottery stuff.
Okay.
They're both very different companies, even though the product is very similar. You know, they're all hand thrown one at a time, handmade mugs. Sunset is a little bit more adventurous in some of the things that they're trying. So they did for us the first ever black clay medallions. Nice. So there isn't any medallions. I mean, I'm sure that there's some single source pottery people that are using all kind of different clay. But when you're making mugs at scale, 24 or more, we don't do thousands, but a couple of hundred. Nobody's done a medallion on the mug that was made from black clay. It's usually a white or natural color.
Right.
So the contrast is just a whole lot different whenever you're creating art and you know that your clay is going to be light in color. So they did concept mugs for us. They said, "Hey, we're coming out with black clay. We want to use your logo and run some testers." And we were all about it. And they came through and they did several different glaze dips to see how the black came out.
Right.
We have reversed medallions. Some medallions are, I say the term reversed, and I don't know if I can make this come clear through audio, but say you have a picture and it's black and white, and then you kind of invert those colors and now it's white and black, even though it's the same picture.
Yeah, like negatives.
Exactly. Yeah, just like a negative. Well, when they do the medallion, the only thing that creates the color is the glaze infill and then the clay that raises up.
Right.
So when you have the black clay, you now have this inverse color. So you have to experiment what parts of your logo or your design are going to be recessed and take in the glaze. And what parts of the medallion are going to be raised and create the lines? Mm-hmm. So we were excited to have Iron Bean be the concept tester.
We've kind of been like that with them from like when we first started work with them, and we went and visited them. We made our own mugs. They let us come make our own mugs with them, and so it was like always like so with our mugs. We didn't want always what everybody else has and stuff. So I think. It was kind of neat that we kind of like challenged them with certain mugs from like in the beginning. We're like, can you dip that a little bit more? Can you do this with it a little bit? And they were like, yeah, let's try that. So then it was kind of like it was almost like teamwork. It was like you know, like they do their certain thing. And then we were like really pushing or pressing to say, let's get more, even more out of this, or let's try these color. And they were like, well, you can't. And then they tried to explain why. And
yeah,
but so then they started thinking they must've just got on board with it and said, yeah, let's try new stuff. Then they would say, hey, we just tried this. And huh?
The Oreo mug.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Oreo mug. Well, I'm talking about the,
all of them.
Is that somebody fighting next door?
I don't know. Oh. So the Oreo mug, we'll get back to the big story, but the Oreo mug was how the white contrasted with the black. They sent us some samples. Some colors didn't work, but that particular white mug, it looked like a fucking Oreo cookie.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Like,
you
know, it was.
Like you peel it apart, you lick half the cream off, and then bam, that's what you got left. And right. We're like, holy shit, that's awesome. We got to give this one away. It wouldn't have been the right thing for us to keep it.
Right.
So, yeah.
We have it on two other mugs.
We have black, but not with white.
No.
But so, yeah, we do have some other mugs that have black clay. We're releasing a mug that has a black clay medallion shortly. It's going to be called the Murder Bean because it is black on black on black. It's cool. Just this murdered
it
out.
It is cool looking.
And nice.
The bean logo is our skull logo. So we have some stuff coming, but that's where the Oreo mug came from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead with Sunset. They've done a lot of different things for us.
Yeah, they have. So it was kind of like neat because when they got to know us and they understood that we wanted to try to do things a little bit different maybe or just get a little creative with it, they were like right on board and they were like, well, let's see what we can do. So every now and then they'll come – you know, I'm glad because it shows that they care about their customer and what they want, you know, and you know, so I kind of like went outside the box for us because we, you know, well, we told them that's kind of what we wanted. We want different things, you know, so.
Yeah. They've been remarkable in taking our ideas and making them real. Like, hey, can you do this with a mug? We've never seen it before. And they're like,
let's make it happen. So.
So have you, so speaking of the mugs, cause I mean, you've done different releases. There were certain limited editions that you came out with. Do you have any plans for like doing some sort of like, say, anniversary mug and going back and saying, hey, doing like the old kettlebell? Cause I saw like you had one that looked like a kettlebell and you can't find those anymore,
but it'll be in a different glaze.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll re-release. We don't know what milestones that we should be celebrating. So we know our birthday. So we were thinking about maybe the 5-year mark. We'll do some sort of retro mug. Like, hey, this was our first mug. This is the first day it came out. So probably at the 5-year anniversary.
Well, we have to be careful with that, too. There's some things we can't do with that mug.
We do whatever we want with that mug.
I'm not going to ask. Wait a minute. Are we talking? Are we sure we're talking about a mug?
Talking about the original kettlebell logo.
Yeah. We can do that one.
Yeah. There's some other companies that want to send us legal paperwork about things that we can and cannot do, but they can go fuck themselves.
Hey,
are you serious?
Use the F word.
Sorry. We are still tiny but we were extra tiny when we started. Right?
Yeah.
And when we would get that kind of stuff in the mail, it was scary as hell. Like, holy crap, you know, this big whatever company wants to shut us down or say that we can't do these things because they have the rights or whatever. Whether they did or didn't, it was really a bully tactic. So that's what Chanel's referring to.
Yeah, I thought that's – I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so
they don't want to get in trouble. I mean, we try to keep peace with everybody. We don't want to step on toes. Nothing was done intentionally. It was just – it just happened, I guess. Just, and it's like, really?
people being asshats for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how can you turn around? I mean, if you think about the English dictionary and the hundreds of thousands of words are in the English dictionary, and for somebody to turn around and copyright certain words or phrases, you know, I understand catchphrases are copyrighted, and you don't want to turn around, but you give credit where credit is due. But it just seems to me that, like, you know, when you're trying to come up with a name for a company or a logo, that, like, if you talk about like motorcycles and Twisted Throttle, there's other companies that utilize Twisted Throttle, but they use it in a different function and form.
Sure.
You know, so why is it that whatever you're doing with a mug design or whatever it is that you're doing with K-cups or your coffee, oh, it looks too similar to ours. Really? Seriously? It just doesn't make sense to me. People just need to be people and be proud of what they got and mind their own business.
Because, yeah, it was a, we always worry about what we're going to do next, because it's like it, everything that we've created from day one, like Bean was the first one on the kettlebell mm-hmm. to come out. That's the mug that I didn't realize you were talking about. So he was the first one, but yeah, Bean was, cause you know, we were into the motorcycle stuff and
yeah.
Bean is the skull logo.
Yeah. Yeah.
For anybody out there that doesn't know, we have three alternate logos. Nori is the main owl.
Yeah.
Dylan is the owl that wears the Viking helmet.
He's and then our Viking poet.
And then the Bean is our original skull logo. He'd never come up with a really cool name, so we just call him the Bean, you know, like your head.
But so between Nori and Dylan, what was the what drove the idea? Where did Nori and Dylan originate from?
Well, we had Bean. We started Bean because Bean and motorcycle and all that stuff. And Fred likes skulls and stuff like that. And, you know, he's got the tattoos all over him. And I'm like, and we kind of wanted to create stuff that was about us, things that we liked, things that we were into. So, and then we talked about having the heart in the eye, because that's kind of like, it's not about just love. It's about doing good. It's, you know, the integrity part. And it's that reminder, that heart, like do the right things or at least try to, you know,
and injecting some humanity. Yeah. In what we're doing.
So, and that was what was behind the coffee and stuff, is bringing people together. So that's where the heart came into it all.
So where'd Nori
and
come
so,
from?
And then Nori, I really wasn't into like the skulls and stuff like that. You know, I'm into animals and I woke up one morning, I'm like, you know what? I want an owl with a heart in her eye. And Fred goes, an owl? I'm like, yeah, I want. I said, do you know what an owl represents and means? I'm like, did you ever? And he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I want an owl. And
we were
like,
making it for Rage.
Yeah, we were making it for Rage Against the Dying of the Light. So that was the poem from Dylan Thomas. So, and Fred had the tattoo already. And I'm like, so we put her with that.
Nori came from the creation of a label for the coffee, Rage Against the Dying of the Light. When we first started, like we said earlier, we had these paper bags. We did little square stickers on there.
Right.
So we wanted them to look nicer. We wanted to create some, you know, cool imagery that aligned with the things that we enjoyed. So
it had to be what we enjoyed. Right. So that's how the owl happened.
Right. Nice. So we were creating labels. So Rage Against the Dying of the Light was the next one. And Chanel woke up that morning and said, Rage Against the Dying of the Light, we need to put an owl on that bag. It's going to be so cool. And then we started the designing the bag, and it was hard.
Yeah.
We are not artists, but YouTube helped us along.
Yeah, it took about 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours. And then some adjustments throughout after that, after we calmed down, because I'd be like, nope, this, I want this, this. And then we did actually a couple different ones. We were like, nope, this way, no, put this over here. Like, he's the computer and the drawing, knows how to do that kind of stuff on there. I just think in my head. So
what Chanel's describing is that we would get this creative process, and I would sit in front of the computer and I'd have Photoshop open and Adobe Illustrator, and I'd be trying to lay down these graphics and create these designs. And that we'd put a couple of hours in, and then I would be the one putting a couple hours in,
you're getting the side eye right now.
so I'd be put, and I was new to all these programs, so I'm just learning how to use them and how to draw and do all that stuff. So we create the first go round of Rage Against the Dying of the Light label, and I push myself back from the desk so she can see the screen, and I'm like, babe, what do you think? And she looks at it and she's like, no.
I didn't shake my head. I just like,
no. I don't like it.
No, when I have a vision, I'm a person that I'm very, if I have a vision, I have a passion for it. Then it's gonna, I look like into details with stuff. And like I said earlier, we have totally different
styles.
Right.
And I was like, I was like, no. I did. I looked at it. I was like, no. And this one gets all red in the face.
I was so mad.
Pulls real slow against the desk. Like he's going to, in his little wheelchair.
I pull myself back into the desk. My feet are like 120 degrees. I can feel my ears lighting on fire because I'm like, I just did all this work and you hate it.
You're just like,
I wasn't mad at Chanel. I'm just like, oh my God, I really thought I was laying a masterpiece.
It's not what
there.
I wanted. That's why.
But yeah.
So. It's hard to say what I want, this is how I want it, And then, because I can say, draw a heart, Fred, and I'll walk in and there's a square. I mean, that's just how Fred works.
Look at it. I got a little ADD.
You know, and then just he's like outside mowing the lawn if I tell him to make a triangle.
It's just like the conversation. We're both all over the place. We're all over the place.
But that's how it is. It's like, so I get frustrated and he would get, because he's not listening or he's not getting his mind together to, like, if I say draw a square, Fred, he's got half the square drawn and some something else going because he's trying to think of what he wants to do to it. And I said, if you would just least listen to me, put down what I want and see how it comes out before you putting your ideas into it, because I'm not going to like it because it's not my vision.
Right.
So, and it's probably the same way with him. And I'm like, listen, you got Bean. I want the owl.
Right.
This is mine. I just need you to draw it. And so it was kind of like, and I can't have my owl because I can't draw, but he can. So I'm like, listen, buddy, I need you right now. And you need to be here for me and just do this damn thing or we're getting a divorce.
So all I right? rolled back in. We focused. And then 3 hours after that, Nori was born. Nice. At least on the bag. We had the bag finished. It was a miracle. So we had the Rage bag. So now we had four coffees. We had Rage Against the Dying of the Light, Cast Iron, Integrity, and Ride or Die.
Yeah.
So now we have four coffees that aren't in paper bags anymore. They have new pictures on the website.
Right.
It's like real themed bags. This is our stuff. This is what we like. And then Rage Against the Dying of the Light coffee just started to sell. Like, man, people are buying this one instead of everything else, and we were getting a lot more orders.
And you know what I was doing? I was like, told you
so.
Yeah, exactly. So within about
so mad.
Within about 3 weeks, Chanel then wakes up one morning, or however it happened, I don't remember anymore. But Chanel says, "That's our logo, by the way." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "That owl is our logo. Uh-huh. Get rid of the skull. The owl is our logo. This is what people like." And I'm like, "You know what? You're right. And it's and she was beautiful. So we peeled that image off the bag. We put her in the center of Iron Bean Coffee Company, and that became our logo. And then soon after that, she developed a name. She developed a gender. It wasn't always she. We called it the Rage Owl.
Yeah.
It was always referred to as the Rage Owl.
And I'm like, she needs a name.
So, along with the help of the community.
Yeah,
and
we put
a
contest out there, and we said, we need, this owl needs a name. And so everybody started putting in
their ideas.
And then one stuck out to us, and it was Iron, because it's, or Nori, Nori, because it's Iron spelled backwards.
Right.
I'm like, that totally makes sense. You know?
It was genius. Chanel grew up, her favorite food was nori seaweed, nori brand roasted seaweed, like you're making a sushi roll, but she just eat the paper seaweed.
Yeah. Right.
So it had a little bit of meaning back to her childhood.
Yeah, my grandmother was a dead mother for Japan, so I was brought up around all that stuff. So when I saw that word named Nori, I was like, that's just...
Yeah, connected.
It just, like, everything seemed to... It was... The whole idea was to put the things that we enjoyed in life and wanted to put out there for others. So, you know, so it just... Everything just fell in place and made sense.
It was all heart and soul. So,
it really was. Yeah. And tears and some blood.
You did not get blood.
And I bled on the inside.
You'll be okay.
But that's where Nori came from. Dylan, the owl, was something that we had plans of bringing in, like, really far out. So
because Nori was going to be like a story.
Yeah, we had a lot of these creative conversations. And the kind of the cool thing about our logos is that we have these characters. It isn't just like IBCC, you know, four letters.
Right.
So we had this character, this little being, Nori. So we're like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Nori, you know, had a boyfriend down the road and blah, blah, blah. We had lots of ideas, and I don't want to say them now.
No, I got you. Yeah.
But we then, a friend of ours is a caricature artist, and we needed to start drawing other things. And it took us a long time to come up with Nori, the drawing. So we're like, we need more stuff. But we don't have the capability. We're not that artistic. Yeah, we're creative.
Yeah, we didn't have time.
But we can't put it down, and we didn't have time to do it. So we partnered up with Joey Hetzel. And Joey Hetzel is our artist, and we really want to keep her as ours. You know, she's her own artist, but we always call her our artist. So we had Joey start to draw Nori in these different positions and different scenes and these things that Chanel and I were coming up with. And one of them was, man, I want to see Nori with a Viking helmet on, because we had this Viking thing going on. You know, my nickname was Thor. We had Thor and Odin. Those two coffees were out when we started. So we got this picture of Nori with a Viking helmet, but it was like way off. Like when the picture showed up, I'm like, oh shit, man, that don't look like Nori. It looks like a little dude. And then
other people were saying that too, like,
yeah, Nori had so like this cute wide jaw all of a sudden, and it just looked masculine. But within 10 minutes of looking at it, Chanel and I look at each other and we're like, that's Dylan. Uh-huh. That's Dylan. And that we had already been talking about Dylan coming, but here he was. He just showed up in our
that's
email.
That's Dylan against Rage Against the Dying Light. You know, it was so, kind of like it was so it was weird.
Dylan, the name is from Dylan Thomas. And Dylan Thomas is the author that wrote the poem Do Not Go Gentle.
Right.
And Do Not Go Gentle's catchphrase or the chorus of the poem is Rage
Against the Dying Light.
So if anybody doesn't put those together. So we tried to live our life along the lines of this poem, like do a bunch of shit before you die so that you don't look back on your life regretting the fact that you didn't do anything, or, you know, that you didn't affect anything. So
we learned all that, just that alone from our life past, you know, making our mistakes and just grow it like everybody. You'll live and learn type thing. You go through your mistakes. You know, we haven't always had this thought process. It was something that we grew together trying to figure out life and stuff and which direction. And that's the way that's where you win. That's your, you know what I mean? When you close your eyes at your last day, it's going to be everything. It's what you left behind.
Your legacy.
Right.
Exactly.
And so like, we don't tell everybody to do all this stuff because we're like perfect. I mean, we didn't get this mind process without going through a lot of hurdles and stuff like that and our own things in life. So, but if we can get people on a faster track of it so they don't have any regrets, and, you know, that's part of the poem too, then do it. Let's just do it. Let's start now, today, do stuff. So
that's
what else were we talking about? I forgot.
That's how Dylan got it named. The origins of Nori. Yeah.
No, so, no, that's beautiful.
So Dylan's this little Viking poet. Dylan the Viking poet.
Yeah, he's cute, isn't he?
Oh, they're all awesome. I'll tell you, they were all awesome. And I think originally when I first came on, it was Bean that brought me, because the skull thing. I think it's a guy thing with the skulls.
Skulls are cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a biker thing. Yeah, patches and. You know, and like I said, we weren't even supposed to go online, first of all. It wasn't even supposed to be like we weren't supposed to have an online business.
We're supposed to be a mom and pop coffee shop, for Christ's sakes, though. So, but we love where we're at.
So when we did our, so when we were talking about the mugs, he's like, well, we need campers. We need something, you know, can't have coffee without coffee campers, you know, and mugs. And so that was the green one, right? So, and did you put that one online?
Yeah.
Is that one? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So, and then
right before Landon's Ride or Die cup is right.
Oh, okay. The one you're drinking out of. Mm-hmm. So, you got the orange one.
Yeah.
So, put them out there, and then, we said, let's make some like nice ones, you know? So that's when Fred got a hold of Deneen, and he put those up, and Deneen, I guess, shared a photo. We didn't know we were just waiting for these mugs to show up at our house. And all of a sudden, some girl named Danielle White, you know, Danielle White, you've seen her in the room.
Yep.
Reaches out to us and said, I just saw a picture of one of your mugs that you're having made. And remember that conversation? Oh, yeah. So she reached out to him first, actually. So she's like, I just saw, we were like, what?
So
we had no idea they were going to like do a tease with it. Go ahead. Frank gets excited about it.
I don't get excited.
Part.
I just try to fill in all the blanks.
No, got you.
We have different storytelling styles.
Me and him, he always tells me, babe, you got to back up. You leave a big part out. I'm like, I don't got all day to talk, all right? I'm a very fast thinker. Like, I just get right to the point of things. That's just how I am.
I didn't realize that these podcasts and our Facebook live feeds, they're actually marriage counseling for us more than they are telling our story.
Well, I'm glad to facilitate. I'm happy to be here.
We were familiar with the mugs. There's so many national parks that have these mugs. There's historical hotels that have these Stonier mugs.
I got to sneak out for 1 second.
No, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
They're world class, you know? They're world class. And we haven't even talked about our coffee product, but we think that our coffee product is world class. So we wanted a mug that was world class as well.
Absolutely. Now,
at the time, we didn't have money to be buying these mugs, but I was still employed. I still made an okay paycheck. And I'm like, we're going to get these mugs. So we order them. And I think we had 48 minimum order or something like that. So we get the 48 mugs. We put them on the internet and they sat for a little while. But the Danielle that Chanel was referring to earlier, Danielle had watched us for a little while. She was interested. The mug is cool as hell looking. And she bought one. And then and Deneen teased a picture at some point as well. And I remember Danielle said, hey, I ordered one of your mugs. And we were well aware that she did because we literally only had like 4 or 5 orders a week, you know, at this point. So we were very conscious of who was ordering what. And she said, I'm going to share this with some of my friends. And you should expect a couple more sales. So she shared it at some point within that week. And then the very next day, we sold out.
Wow.
All 48 were gone. And thank God, people ordered coffee along with that mug so they could earn free shipping. And then the coffee turned out not to be so bad either. So and that was kind of the launch where things started to speed up a little bit.
And it served it served you well. It served the purpose, right?
So absolutely,
yeah. But I mean, it's phenomenal to see how y'all grown and shit, just to even have this conversation with you two as well. And I know what we had mentioned like time again that hey, get you on the podcast. Real life issues, you know, they come into play. And I know yours are different than mine right now. Cause I was like, dang it, man. Cause my intention, like you with Iron Bean, the passion, I'm passionate about doing the podcast. I don't go and ask for sponsors. I really don't want sponsors. My intent is to keep this free and open and not to ask for anybody to provide any sort of funding to do this. I mean, it does cost. It can get costly, right? So, you know, but it's time and equipment and everything. So I share your vision where it comes to just having that level of connectivity, you know, with your fans, with the people. And I tell you, hand on heart, I appreciate everything that you all do. And I try to tune in every time you guys are live. And if I can't, I'll go back and watch it later, you know, and constantly following and trying to keep up with everything that's going on. So speaking of which, I saw a couple of postings on what looks like an Italian mug coming out. It looked like an Italian colored mug.
It's definitely Italian colored. Because things are so fast, so furious, and we are busy. We can't create like we used to, or we just miss deadlines because before you know it, a whole entire month went by and you don't even realize.
Yeah.
So we missed the mark for our Christmas mugs each year for the last 2 years. So we had a Christmas mug first year we were around.
Right.
The second year, the fall starts to get a little busier. It's a little cooler. More people are drinking coffee. We got Thanksgiving. There's Veterans Day in there. Yeah. The Marine Corps birthday, Labor Day. You know, it's just a whole lot of stuff that leads up into that month of December. And we weren't able to put out a Christmas mug. Now, Sunset Hill Stoneware just happened to be putting together new colors and new glaze schemes. And they went ahead and took our bean mug. It's the same mug all the time, but we introduced it a bunch of different ways.
Right.
So they had some extra from a run that we had ordered previous in the year. And they're coming out with this new poinsettia is the name of their mug. But it looks like the Italian flag.
It does.
It also looks like Christmas.
Christmas, right.
So they went ahead and they dipped like 12 mugs that we had on standby. And this box shows up in the mail. And bam, we got 12 Christmas mugs in the box. And I was like, oh, shit, man, these are nice. We should have ordered some Christmas mugs. But this was like 3 weeks before Christmas.
Right.
But wait, you know, it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get an order in and get it fulfilled.
Yeah.
So we missed the mark. But now we had 12 of these mugs, so we're like, shit, put them on the internet, man. We don't like to keep them for ourselves. We want our folks and our Iron Bean family to have them.
But we also wanted people to kind of have a break from it.
Yeah,
And kind of did back off a little bit. Like, we gave Joey a rest, and we said, you know what? it just started to seem like he was getting over, like it was too, it was coming from every,
yeah,
it was everywhere. And we care about the nation.
Yeah.
You know,
we care about your wallets.
We care about, we do. And there was times where it would bother me and I'm like, well, I can see this person's having a hard time. And I know if we do, you know, we pay attention to the nation and and it's like, we see things that they buy cause they share and this and that. And I'm like, let's slow down on the mugs a little bit. Yeah. I'm like, I know they want them and cause they'll ask us. And that's kind of how, when he decided to put the Italian Christmas mugs.
Yeah, however you see it, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Right. It was like, we didn't want to, but we only had a few. So we were like, all right, well, so he put them up and like, or when you showed it, I think, and everybody's like, oh, you guys, it's like, oh Jesus. I really wanted just a break and to give other people a break from it, you know, and just, I don't know. I just always,
here's
it's not
truth.
A good feeling when you,
here's the truth of the matter. We are aware that there are collectors out there.
Yeah.
Right. And I am this way with these flannel shirts that I have. I can't, this Dixon flannel comes out with these shirts. I love them. Sometimes I don't even like the pattern and I'll buy the damn shirt anyway.
Right.
Because I'm a collector of them. Right. And so we are aware that there are folks out there that will collect these mugs. They might not even like the mug, but they already have the whole set, or they know that because it's a limited edition and it looks kind of cool, I'm going to get it. Some people are just going to buy the mug, whether they want to or not, whether they can afford to or not. So we are conscious of that fact. And that was another big reason why we didn't release mugs when our fans were probably expecting something to come out. We just know that there are other companies that are coming out with mugs, that we had just done one and we wanted to be respectful of people's, you know, financial situations. So we said, well, we're just not going to do it now. So,
and then they get mad at us.
And then they're like, hey, you didn't come out with a mug. And they were like, you know, we're trying to do you a favor.
Like, shit.
But we have a little bit, I say this a lot, and I don't mean this to be boastful. I mean this to be just real. We have a little bit too much integrity to do those things that would make us financially successful.
Right.
There's some techniques and tactics and marketing, and I use the word ploys. I mean, they're just ways to market that we just won't do because it doesn't feel right to us, even though we know it's going to make us more financially successful.
Right.
But we just don't do them. So that's what Chanel's alluding to. That the fact of the matter of some times we didn't release, we just didn't want to abuse people. We didn't want to take advantage of them.
Yeah. And again, you know, it goes back down to you all being personable. I mean, there's other coffee companies out there that, and again, I'm not going to mention what the others are, and I'm sure you can guess who they are when I talk about this. But when I look at some of the mugs that they come out with, it's kind of like they're pushing for the sake of, oh, Halloween's coming up, or what's the other holiday? Easter. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And some of those mugs are just butt ugly overall together. Right. So I'm sitting here going, you're pushing mugs out there to the masses for the sake of, hey, this is a limited edition holiday edition mug and it looks like shit. So I think they kind of lose focus where, hey, let's kind of tone down. And hey, it gives you time to be creative and think of a good design, that spontaneous moment to say, hey, bam, let's do this design for this holiday, or let's just do a design for the hell of it and do something. Right. No holiday and be spontaneous about it. And it seems to me that seems more personable than doing conveyor belt coffee mugs for every time of this, for every holiday of the season. And I think people get burned out on that too.
Yeah.
You know? For sure.
Yeah.
Everybody does with anything, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just coffee. I mean, it's
everything.
Any
coffee. Right.
Particularly e-commerce, because that's the way that you build business. But yeah, it's you get burnt out. We don't want to burn everybody out.
No, I get it.
We don't want to get burnt out either, because you know you got to enjoy what. If it's a dream, you don't want to ruin that. You don't want to not. Sorry, I'm doing my nails over here while I'm talking. Hey, I got something to do in about an hour and a half. So I got to get my nails done. So, you don't want to get burnt out, because then if you don't enjoy your job, I mean, you know, how many people work and they really don't enjoy their job? I don't want something that's a passion and a dream to turn into,
a grind.
Yeah. Like, I just don't, I mean, we've done that and we'll continue to do that if we have to. I mean, that's, you got to keep your roof on your head. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And you got to find something, even in a job you don't like, you got to find something that you like about it.
Yeah.
It's got, you got to want to wake up in the morning and go, regardless of what it, there's always something, some positive to everything. So, but yeah, on this particular thing, we didn't want to not enjoy it no more. And we didn't want our, the nation not to enjoy it anymore. So, right. You know, we felt their frustrations and we noticed it. So
the mug, the Italian mug that you see now is, we did a pre-order is what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
The pre-order was just a couple of days like, hey, we didn't release one, but if you want one, here's an opportunity to get one. No pressure. So we did a pre-order and then somewhere along the line, the order was lost. So we got these really late.
Wow.
And we just got them 2 days ago. So
everybody's like, that mug ever coming? We're like, so Fred reached out and there was something messed up in the system where it didn't catch it. And it was like, oh, wow. I know they knew that we talked about it and ordering them.
Yeah, we ordered them. We paid for them. It wasn't showing up in the
system. Yeah, it was not showing up in their system. So it was like, they did though. They said, you know what? They said, we'll work on these now. And I said, well, is it going to affect our Valentine's Day mug? And she said, nope, don't worry about it. It's not going to, no. And I said, that's good. So I'm like, so yeah, but, and they did them quick. I don't know how they did that because they're busy. I mean, they are. They even said the next mug that you guys are going to come out with, like, can you be like maybe instead of a month early, be like 2 months early? Cause we're picking up even more. So we're like, yeah. So it's like, yeah, that's it. Go ahead.
So we let everybody know, hey, we got them. The shipping, we had a bunch of inquiries. And then a bunch of folks realized, like, hey, I didn't see these for sale. What the hell is this?
You can't win.
Yeah. And I just assume everybody sees everything that we post all the time, which is not a safe assumption. I'm like, don't you guys know? I mean, we put it on Facebook. So yeah, I figure everybody was on Facebook that day. So they're available again. We only sold 50. I think there's 60 of them.
Well, I think
out.
We just shared that in the nation.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just shared it.
And again. We have a reason for that too. So we shove stuff in the nation first.
We don't shove.
I mean, like, we shove it in there as in we put it there first.
Right.
And
the nation gets first priority. Hey, yes. Check this out. Yeah.
And this is why
they
have a passion for it. It's something they enjoy. Like, we all have something we collect and we like. So we know that this is we hate seeing somebody get like buy five of them and they end up on eBay. Now I know if somebody really wants it, they're going to pay a price no matter what they ask for it.
Right.
And that's fine. And if you decide to buy one and you don't like it and say, well, I'm going to throw it up on eBay, that's fine. You know what I mean? But like when somebody buys it just to sell it, it upsets the nation. And it's like, and then they charge them double than what they could have got it from us. So I'm like, and we always have some left behind. So we always hope for breakage.
Right.
So just in case a mug breaks, we have some.
Yeah.
So we always tell everybody, just wait a little bit. You know, I mean, we do. We care about our nation. When we say we care about our nation, we care about it. And we protect. I'm like the protective mom, you know, and I'm like that with all the kids that have been in my life. And the nation to me are my kids. So, but, you know, here, like my kids, friends, and they're all my baby. I protect everybody. I protect my husband. It's just how I am. So it was. So when I see that stuff happening, I'm like, no, we're not going to let this happen. So Fred's like, you know what? We're going to offer this to you guys first.
Right.
Because then that way, you know, that they're going into somebody that's going to appreciate them, like them and want them and not just to turn it right around to take advantage of somebody that is a mug collector.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it too.
Because there's more than just our room. There's other mug rooms out there and, you know, and it's, so go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. But I mean, no, I think it's the perfect way that you do that because there's other companies out there that they want you to subscribe in order to get exclusive access to any new releases, right? If you don't subscribe, you know, you're along with everybody else, you know. So we got the elitists up here who subscribe, and you get first dibs before we do the actual release. And I kind of call bullshit on that. You know, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. You know, they want to increase the subscription base where they got the recurring shit going on. I get it. But no, I appreciate the fact that, hey, I don't, if you want to subscribe to Iron Bean, subscribe to Iron Bean. But at the same time, we're treating everybody fair and equal, you know?
We try our best with that. And that was something we learned a lot before business even started. I remember Fred transferring, like every time we would get a transfer with a job, he'd have to go away for classes and college and stuff like that to learn stuff on his job. And he hated the front row of the airplane. Like, what do you call that?
Oh, first class.
First class, and yeah.
He would come home and like, just like, we talk a lot. It's always, me and him are just, as much as we pick on each other or whatever, or he drives me nuts and I pick on him, whatever, we're best friends. That's where we've been together 20 years, and it's kind of just been us with the kids. We are really close. So he tells me about everything. So he would come home and go, oh, I'll sit in the front row and get this, and, you know, and he would like mock around, and he go, they'd open up their little curtain, and he's like, and I went right to the beeline to the bathroom, and you know, and so it
was, sir, you can't use this bathroom. That was the very first. And I'm like, you got to be shit. I didn't fly before, and I didn't really understand what first class meant. I'd heard the term, you know. Oh, I sat in first class. I'm like, wow, that sounds really nice. But then once I started flying really frequently for work, I'm like, first. And if anybody out there flies first class, I'm sorry if this pisses you off, but I don't understand the attitude that comes with
first class. No, I get it.
And for a nice big comfy seat, some free drink, if you can afford it. And you want a comfortable seat, I understand that measure of value. But there's some fucking attitude that comes with it as well. Yeah. And I have no appreciation for that.
No, I don't either.
Make sure you see me here. You're not supposed to be in this line, sir.
Yeah,
don't you dare walk through my curtain. I don't have any respect for that part of it. That was something we learned 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's something like we.
I still can't get over it.
Hey, so
excuse me.
It was like we went to a concert. A Lindsey Stirling concert about, was it 2 months ago?
Yeah.
And we got our, you know, Fred's all excited because I'm somebody that don't like a lot of things. Like I don't know. My family is really important. I'm not into anybody. I don't have this idol where I look up to, you know, and stuff like that. I don't get excited like that. And I'm like, but we loved her music. And he's like, babe, we don't ever do anything that we both like to do. And that, you know, let's do something special. And he was all excited. So he gets this ticket and they're good seats and he's all excited and we're in line. And he's like, we're going to be right up front row. And he's excited because whenever Fred gets to do something for me, that's something that he knows I'm actually going to like, he gets overly excited. So, and you know, and we're in line and then we started seeing people on the left of us and they're like, oh, what were they calling
them?
The VIPs.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. The VIP. That side over there is for the regular people. And I'm like, oh, hell no. She just did not just call me a regular person.
I'm like, look, we're all regular people. Those VIPs, we're just regular people. CEO of Microsoft is a regular dude.
Wait, I wasn't the only one that said that. I must have had 10 people behind me going, I'm regular. You know, and I'm like, that feeling.
And we have VIP tickets, and we're not taking advantage of the premium access.
Right.
Because it doesn't feel right. I just wanted a good close seat.
Yeah.
And we haven't done shit in 3 years, so I bought my wife good tickets. But we didn't get in the VIP lines where everyone could see it. I don't know. I don't like it.
I think
you're alluding to is that feeling of elitist.
Yeah.
And that's a marketing tactic we refuse to use.
Yeah.
Even though it probably makes sense. But
right.
We're not going to do it.
Well, hey, you know, the difference between first class and frickin' cabin or coach or whatever is that first class has padded paper ass gaskets. That's it.
Yeah, what?
Paper ass gaskets. The toilet ring covers. So
paper?
You don't, you never seen those?
We don't fly first class, man.
But that's what they get. No, because they have them in regular bathrooms too. So
no, I'm joking. Well, but they're padded.
Padded toilet seats?
No. Padded paper ass gaskets. You get the cheap paper. They get the padded ones. Yeah.
I never knew there was a padded one.
Hey, I'm joking.
Oh, there is. Oh. I was gonna say I've never seen a padded toilet paper.
Ass gasket.
Ass gasket. The toilets, yeah. Okay, never mind. The ship sailed. We're done.
Oh, so they really don't have that.
No, that's why I said I was joking.
Okay. I'm like, really? I'm going to go fly first class just to sit on a padded toilet seat.
Oh, shoot. Well, you don't have to do that. You can go to Home Depot and buy one.
I'm going
to
be really disappointed if I would have got on a plane, got and be like, that toilet was cold, okay? No,
Landon Isle said there's supposed to be padded paper ass gaskets up here, and there isn't. This is our first time flying first class. I don't understand what the problem is. I can see this conversation is about 3 years into our future.
I'm writing my congressman, damn it.
Watch. Now they'll come out with them.
Yeah. Something like that. But hey, so I know you guys got something coming up here in like another 10 minutes and everything. So I don't want to take up more of your time. This has been phenomenal. You're more than welcome to come on the show anytime. If you got anything that you guys want to pitch or anything like that, feel free. Let me know. Free access. You know, we'll get it out there. But thank you guys for I know you all are busy. I know you guys are doing a great deal. I sure appreciate you. I know Iron Bee Nation appreciates you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. This has been great.
This was fantastic.
Awesome.
We'll have to come back on and we'll actually talk about coffee.
Yeah. And like you said, this was just something that I just wanted to like sit down.
Toilet seats.
But he tied it in talking about the whole elitist thing. So it was great. He brought it back in. So I have no complaints, but thank you so much. Hand on heart. Thank you for taking the time out because I know how busy y'all are. I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
Today's a busy day, but it'll calm down and we'll go home and chill. It's Saturday night. So we have one more thing to do after this. And I can't wait to get home because I went and dropped this huge long pallet right on the top of my foot last night. Oh. So
she's trying to claim workplace injury, so she ain't gonna come to work tomorrow. I think that's what's going on.
You
don't have that insurance plan yet.
Yeah. He's like, you're gonna go to work and work, okay?
Yeah, I said you're still coming to work tomorrow.
Hey, she's getting back at you for all the times that you made her stir those beans in that cast iron pot.
Right. Exactly right.
No, he's saying karma because did you see the video he posted, shared in the nation yesterday, where he was doing that flip on the box and he fell and it hit his back, like skinned his back. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I'm going to have to go check that out.
It will make you laugh. It just makes you do one of those deep laughs. So you have to go on there and check it out.
So he said
it was my karma.
Yeah, she watches this video. This video is like 7 years old.
It's
right?
funny though. It happened yesterday.
It's me and my son in the driveway, and we got these plyo boxes stacked up, and we were athletes for a day. So you'd run up to the box and land on your hands, and then you had to like work your way into a handstand. That was the goal, and we were trying to do it. And Brandon was pretty good. Brandon's our son. He's got pretty close. So I'm like, oh, watch this. So I run up the driveway. I land on the box on my hands, and I start getting into this handstand position. And then I just flip right over, land right on the box, right on my back. It's a great video. Yeah, so Chanel, all day yesterday, she's in work mode, all straight business, no laughs. And then this video pops up, and she's like, you got to post this on Facebook. So I'm like, all right, I'll post it on Facebook. I was glad to see her laugh yesterday. So I said, Chanel hasn't laughed all day until she saw this video. So we post it in the nation. Everybody gets a kick out of it. Not 10 minutes later, she drops the pallet on her foot. And I'm like, that's karma.
Karma.
That's instant karma got you.
He picks up the camera and takes pictures of my face. I was in tears. That's all bad. Yeah, he poked them. He's dead meat, let me tell you.
Goodness gracious. No, thank you. This has been awesome. This is like the equivalent of sitting out on the back deck and drinking some coffee and just having general conversation and chilling out. So no, really, again, hand on heart, I appreciate this. I really, really do.
And we appreciate you too. So
yeah, thank you, Landon.
Not a problem. So I will work on getting this posted or getting this edited tonight, and hopefully by tomorrow, probably Monday, we'll have it out there you know, I'll make sure he lets you all know when it gets out.
Okay.
So is there anything that you always want to plug? Is there anything that's coming out that you want to make anybody aware of? I mean, I know you got the Christmas Italian mugs. You've already, and I think you posted and already teased the Valentine's mugs. Is there anything else coming up that, you want to divulge now, or do you want to hold back and say, yeah, let's wait?
No future secrets. The Valentine's Day mug. Go check. Go follow us on Instagram. You get to see little teases we put out there. Chanel designed the Valentine's Day mug. It'll be out sometime a week before Valentine's Day. So follow us, Iron Bean Coffee, on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Just type in Iron Bean Coffee in your search bar. It's going to come up. I don't really know what our username on Facebook is. I think it's called The Iron Bean.
We don't even know.
Yeah, I'm not even sure anymore. So, but we've been around long enough. If you just type Iron Bean, it will pop up somewhere. Got thank it. God.
Thank God for Google.
We do have still, and this is a good plug. We still have, excuse me, canisters from Christmas.
Chocolate.
And we have chocolate.
From Heather Lent. Bittersweet candy.
Yeah, bitter. Oh my God. I just swallowed something. So we had, yeah, we did a collaboration with Bittersweet Candy Company in Schenectady, New York. And they make chocolate bark for us. So we still have like 50 bags of each of those. We still have canisters, but yeah, follow us so you can see what's coming up.
Stuff like that.
And of course, they could.
We gotta get, it's hard when it's just Fren and I.
Right.
You know, I mean, we get a help here and there and stuff like that. And, but overall, like when it comes to the designs, the ordering stuff, it ain't even just the packing that we get help with, thank God. But when it comes to every other part of it, it's just me and him. So, and then trying to make sure it's out in time or get it. Like, we don't want to just order crap. There's a couple of times we ordered shirts and it was like, it would be something we would not pick. And then we would feel really bad for, but people would ask for them and like, oh, I really don't want to put this shirt out there. I'm not happy with it.
Right.
So we want to take our time. Like, we want to do sweatpants. So that's something that we just haven't actually pulled the plug on it. So, but I want to make sure the material's not going to shrink when they wash them. So we just got to pay attention to that stuff. So that stuff's going to come out, and then we're going to get ready for some spring stuff.
Yeah. Cool. But right now, stay tuned for the Valentine's Day.
Yeah. That's the next thing.
Good deal. Yeah. Good deal. So you follow you on Facebook, follow you on Instagram, and as you can find them at www.ironbeancoffee.com. Perfect. So, all right, guys. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. You too.
And good luck with this, putting this all together.
Oh yeah, I think we'll be fine. Like I said, I'm not editing shit this round. This has been a good conversation. This has been real. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Fren, Chanel, y'all have a good night.
All right, you too, honey.
Take care. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Landon again. Hey, really quick. I hope you enjoyed the show. It was less an interview, more of a conversation, but that was fine. That was great. I just want to go back and let you know that, once again, all their coffees, all their mugs, all their releases, everything that comes out, you can follow them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. Just like, Fred said, you can Google or search Iron Bean Coffee Company. I believe also when you go to their website, www.ironbeancoffee.com, that the links to those pages, Instagram, Facebook, will probably be provided there as well. Highly suggest visit the website. I will have the link in the show notes. If you want to go visit, buy some coffee, buy a mug. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. So one last thing, don't have any emails to read this week, but I will probably have some on the next show. So that being said, No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Didn't have background music today, but when we do have background music, that could be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. If you have any comments or questions or anything about today's or previous episodes, we would love to hear from you. You could email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, at gmail.com, or you can post your comments on our website at www.nosyntax.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at No Syntax Podcast, excuse me, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Don't forget, we are on iTunes. Please subscribe and leave us a review, good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter because, you know what? We will still love you. And if iTunes quite is not your cup of tea or cup of coffee, as it were, you could also find us on iHeartRadio. So once again, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.